The band's been around for over 20 years. Can you give us a highlight reel about what's the band been doing for all this year?
Know anything about the band? We started probably back 1987. I was drummer then, and we came out with played with Death Angel and Nuclear Assault, Exodus, a lot of the Bay Area bands because that's where we're from. Aside of that, I mean, that those are kind of our roots. And that's how we got started, because we were writing, you know. Trying to put together 20 years right now. I can give you a lot of details if you want internet. If you want, I can give you like a history of things, or I can just kind of, you know.
Well, I mean, just whatever you consider are the. Hey, no problem.
But it's kind of hard to sum the whole thing up, you know, because 20 years of Flaming Chaos, you know, you kind of just, we don't stop. We keep going. You know, we made demo after demo. CD, finally trying to get the right pieces together, keep scratching, playing, writing. We play festivals, we play in Europe. It just goes on and on and on. It never stops.
Well, I mean, from what we noticed, you guys have never been on a big label. What do you think this was due?
We've never been on a big label. I think it was maybe 1989 or 1990. What was going on in the Bay was a lot of bands were getting signed, and Roadrunner at the time was picking up a lot of bands. And Hex was popular, Chaos was right there, Status, Forbidden, Death Angel, Exodus were all already signed. And they just weren't signing any more Bay Area bands at the time. We kind of just worked like just right at the top of the mountain. And it just, you know, it just didn't happen at that time. You know, it just didn't get, you know, that we were hoping for. So we just kept doing demos and doing our own thing, you know.
And how frustrating do you think that was comparing, I mean, that you see the guy next to you getting signed and you're like, pick me?
Oh, well, I tell you, man, I just put the fire under you, you know. Just keep it going. Fans get signed here and there, you know, we're coming to see you, you know, you're trading demos, or, you know, you're on every fanzine and selling a lot of t-shirts, you're doing well, pretty much in every, you know, angle. All the demos and tricks, there's no internet yet, you know?
Yeah.
And at the time, we were really young. We were ready to do anything, but again, it just was at the top of the mountain, and we were signing everybody, and we were right there, and it's like, well, all everybody that had their interest in the Bay Area signed the bands that they wanted, even though we were a good band. We played with all the great bands that came through, we played with all the great bands in the area. Just, you know,
and what do you think it took you guys? Well, looking at your discography, it took 13 years for the first CD.
For that, I would say there was a time, there was maybe a year or two where everybody took a break and we had some people fall out because there have been some member changes over the years. I'm sure you've probably seen that, or I don't know what you read or what you.
Yeah, I only see in some stuff that I can find on the internet.
Yeah, but I mean, but over the years, there have been some member changes, things like that, and that always causes delay. But, it does kind of put a stick in the spoke, you know, as far as writing and, you know, playing the touring stuff. That was always one thing that kind of would get going, and then somebody's going to quit, or we're going to release a CD, and then we're going to do this, and then somebody, you know, the priority has changed, and they wanted to leave the band for whatever reason. But I think that would be the, it was probably, well, part of that was when I decided to step off the kit and step in front. We had different drummers coming in, and I was going to take on all the lead vocals. We had a 1 or 2 years in there where I was kind of just a trial and error, pretty much. There was some delay in there, but I know 13 years sounds like a long time. You know, we just demo, and then finally the, you know, where does it come from, you know?
Yeah.
I know. But I'm hopeful, and I'm excited about it. It's better after one after another. You know, it's I'm in the band. I'm gonna say that. You know. Of course, I like our music.
And okay, just moving on a little bit forward, you were signed for a while, or one CD was released through Relentless Records, and then it took another 7 years for the Pits of Existence. Can you tell us about the process that happened between that more modern stage of the band?
Sure, fast-forwarding another 10 years, you know, like I said, Chaos Among Us is ready to go. We bought the Tunnel Records. I took it on. And we actually went to Europe and played shows there. Northern America and Europe with that. And that was all good. Everything's going well. We did another pressing of the album. Everything's going well. And then, again, some of the guys in the band, their priorities changed. And for whatever reason, you know, a couple of the guys quit. With the band, and well, now 40 to now, kind of, some of those guys have gone and replaced by other people, and now we're finally mocking mode.
And how do you see that the scene has changed now? A lot of the bands now, they actually get to make they become a band because they want to, you know, kind of make money or do a project, a product, versus before that people actually just did it for fun.
For me, and for Chaos, you gotta have fun at what you're doing. You know, still, you know, you wanna, you know, cover your costs, and you know, you gotta be business about your band. You know, you're playing shows, you wanna make sure things get covered, taken care of, and you're going on tour, or selling merchandise, and things like that. That part of the Bay Area hasn't changed. People come out to shows, it's still fun. People get a little bit older with certain bands, you get a bunch of new bands come around as well, and that's good too, but, only because, Chaos has been in this for 20 years, you've kind of seen the whole thing happen, kind of high point, low point, peaking again, and it didn't peak, as of the last 4 to 5 years, we played some shows with Forbidden, played a couple more shows with Dead Angel Exodus, and there's just a whole new team coming around, but it's the same band, but the crowds that are coming, they're not just older guys, they're, younger kids too, which I think is totally awesome.
And do you think that, the release of this album was perfectly timed with the, like you've been saying, the whole resurgence of the trash metal scene with Exodus, Forbidden, coming back?
But one, I gotta tell you, man, this album has been locked and loaded, for a few months, But then there was some debate, and the artwork, and we had ideas, and we were kind of going through graphic art designs, different folks trying to create the image that we wanted for the album. And as far as being the right time, I thought it was the right time when it did come out, but kind of reflecting on the last year, kind of looking at everything now, I'm glad it came out when it did, which is now, we're a few months ago, and it's having a pretty good impact, pretty much everywhere we put it. You can't please them all, but for the most part, people that like metal, thrash metal, and all the rest, it's doing pretty good. It's doing pretty well.
And can you tell us more about the concept and ideas behind it, lyrically and musically?
Musically and lyrically, it's always a band effort. Everybody contributes. I write pretty much most of the lyrics. I don't write every single lyric, but I write probably 80-95% of all the lyrics. And with the music and arrangement, the whole band contributes to that. And, I don't want to say it's your typical, blood, death, and hell, but then again, the album, reflects a lot of, the pain and suffering of the world, blood, hell, and sacrifice is going on pretty much, every day, and we came across that album cover. It was an image that was available to us, and I thought that looked just like the bottom of the pit of hell to me. done over and over, but everybody just damn liked it. And at the time, some of the other people that were working on our album cover, you know, we had submitted lyrics and gave the song. This is our title track. It's called "This Is Existence." You guys elaborate, create something, and you know, a lot of people, they had a hard time kind of bringing it to life. You know, but when I came across that, for the whole band, you know, that took it. I go, this is the bottom of the pit of hell. Cool. It's gonna happen.
And what are your main inspirations for writing songs? I mean, going deeper than the whole blood guts, like you explained it.
Right. The main inspiration for songs, well, it's daily. One on it's daily, you know? Just with all the, you know, the holy wars, everybody's right, nobody's wrong, kind of theology. Yet, you know, you gotta function in society, you gotta live, you gotta do your thing. You know, what makes your clock tick, you know? What drives you? What drives you? What drives your band? You know? And it's a lot of that, you know? And I could go on and on and on about that, but, you know, every song carries its own substance. You know, different songs have a different feel and a different vibe, you know? You know, just grab you in a certain way, you know, whether... Well, you know, people are going to read the lyrics and they're going to take it in and they're going to absorb it to their personal life the way it reflects them. You know, unless they were talking, you know, to me or seeing or some of the band. So, well, what does that song actually mean, or whether was that song actually mean, like the bottom of the pits of hell or the pits of existence, is a song about making decisions pretty much whether you want to go to heaven or hell. You know, with that. That kind of, it's like a story. Well, you're not going to make it. You're going to the bottom pits of hell. And it's like, judge the day, and you didn't make it. Sorry. This is our business, you know, of one particular song. For example, The Scream Screaming in the Mirror, that song is about you know, a mother that loses, you know, all of her sons in war, loses her mind. And she's screaming in the mirror because all her sons are dead and she can't deal with life. And the rest is something explanatory, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So every song tackles something, kind of daily, you know, right? You know, pretty much every day, you know, doing things. We actually have 5 to 7 more songs written for the next album. As this one's going, we're working on the next one right now, actually.
Yeah, that was kind of my next question, since, I mean, you guys had plenty of years to write a lot of music.
Absolutely. Now, I want to tell you, man, we've got a ton of material, you know, just, you know, granted, the right players want to play the game, you want to stay in the band, and they got to, you know, stick it out for the long haul, you know, it's going to be chaos, it's going to be good things, somebody wants to tackle chaos in a serious matter, you know, we're a force to reckon with, you know, I really think so, you know.
And are you guys talking to, well, did you send the CDs and everything to labels and are hoping to get a deal, or you're happy with the way current technology allows to distribute stuff now?
Well, you're right. I mean, the way things operate now, you don't solely have to rely on a label. I mean, however, we're not X-ing anything out. So things are going well. People are downloading the album. People are buying the CD. We're sending CDs out every day, and Michelle Murray, our PR rep, she did a fantastic job with handling, you know, all of that. And, nothing's being, checked out. Things are moving along. If something comes up, let's tackle that when it comes our way. You know, right now, things are just getting started, but it's all good, though. It's really good.
And do you think that if you guys would have, I mean, be like 10 years ahead of the future when you started with all the facilities now to distribute music, do you think you guys would be in a different or probably a higher place than now?
That's a good question. Well, of course, I'm going to say yeah, because I've been in this band since day one, and I've loved chaos, you know, forever, and I'm hopeful. like I said, you can't please everybody, but you know what, for the most part, it goes over really well and people want more chaos in their life.
And out of all the touring that you guys have done, which place would you say was your best concert so far?
That's a tough one, man. One, I'll tell you, man, we played a lot of good shows. I mean, some shows aren't so good, you know. I mean, I've watched and talked about early days of Anthrax and SOD, and some shows are good, some weren't so good, but with Chaos, you know, our early days were good. Some shows not so good, but I'd say we played a festival in Jersey with Final Remains and Testament. That was an amazing show all together. You know, let alone the response for us. Even with Europe, we've only been here one time. We played Headbangers Open Air, and that was awesome. It was just thousands of people, and it was a fantastic show. For a band like Chaos, play on a show like that is something that I would perform. It doesn't happen all the time. We're a little more aggressive than that particular festival and the other shows that we did. And it was out of the world. And even in Seattle, we just used over there in Portland, Seattle, and one of the guitar just to give a nail down one or two. But those are pretty much the highlights. Seattle and New Jersey and New York and Europe, obviously. You know that.
And what about the plans that you have now for touring? Is there anything set, or are you guys just kind of waiting to plan a tour for the U.S.?
There's nothing set in stone at the moment. I mean, Michelle taking care of all that stuff. You know, I'm sure you already talked to her. I know you have some correspondence with her already. There's no tour dates locked in as of yet. We're just pumping a new album. We're working on stuff for the next release, which will be a 7-year hurrah. Not going to happen, to be honest. We're not going to get titles, you know, song titles and album titles yet. But it's coming together pretty quick. It won't be any more 7-year delays. But as far as the touring goes, not locked in yet, but as soon as I know, man,
and during all these years, I mean, obviously the band has been through difficult times and everything. Was there any point in time where you guys were like, well, maybe if we play this that's being more popular now, we'll make something out of the band faster? Did you guys ever thought about changing styles or anything?
You mean as far as changing the way we do things, or just changing the music?
Hell, the music.
There was a time when we were jamming, playing, and this was a while ago. We were a little bit younger then. And there was a time, maybe 1993, 1994 maybe, we made a couple of demos that weren't as aggressive as they could have been, and we did dabble a little bit in the outside metal world a little bit, and after that, we kind of knew we had to stick to our roots, just kind of do it the way that we should have done it, just the way that we used to do it, with the early stuff, hard, raw, aggressive thrash metal. You know, there's going to be some influence here and there. You know, with some of the bands, you know, whether it's Slipknot or Lamb of God, but pretty much Pantera, Slayer, Creator, you know, all that kind of stuff. Testament, Exodus. But there was a time when we messed around with a couple of demos. That's why those are demo tapes. They're CDs, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And do you think that you guys will ever for example, Exodus now incorporates stuff like Meshuggah's grooviness into their music while still retaining the trash metal essence? Do you think you guys will ever move into a little bit more modern sound?
I think so, because I mean I love a lot of the. I mean, I can't keep up with all the newer bands, because there's a lot of new bands.
Oh yeah.
And I hear a lot of great stuff, and I know exactly what you mean with the Exodus, with the new age, and the modern sound kind of, the more groovy or more thrashy or more modern. But I can see Chaos, you know, touched on elements of that, because we're always going to go back to our roots. We're always going to build on our foundation, which is very brash. But at the same time, we will kind of touch on some modern day things here and there, you know, with little Slipknot or maybe a little Machine Head or, you know, Lamb of God or Extended or whatever it might be. I think that's definitely going to be, you know, the playbook is open for writing new music all the time, always.
And what about the seed now? I mean, obviously from 20 years to now, it's changed a lot. How do you see that people go to shows now for compared to before?
Well, I mean, that's a tough question. I mean people want to see a good show, regardless. People want to leave their house, and they want to go see a good show because they know the band, they know the song, and they know it's going to be kick-ass. That's one thing, you know. But if you fast forward now and just say that Chaos is our first show and we're going to play a concert and people never heard of, you know, people never heard you and they don't know what to think of you. And if they never heard of you, they don't know. Because before, you had to do a lot of cassette demo trading. Demo trading versus now, they can see your stuff online and go, well, I like it, I'm going to come to you. Whether I don't like it, now I'm not going to come to you at all. Because before, they never heard you. Like, oh, I got a flyer for the show. There's the Chaos Band. They're playing with, Testament and Heathen at this club next weekend. And, generally, you know, I'm on a buzz because they got all these flyers all over town. And they got all these stickers.
Yeah.
So it's a different gig nowadays. It's online. Everything is all internet. And if they've never heard you, it's like, well, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm only going to go to the show. I'm not going to go check out the local possible. That might be awesome. And it's really very picked out, you know.
But in your opinion, I mean, for me, it takes out of the kind of like the mysticism of finding out a good band, discovering what this new person is, versus just, you know, checking the MySpace and making a. Well, sometimes uninformed decision based on whatever you guys put in there.
Well, I know exactly what you mean. For me, you know, I mean, I've been eating out forever, and I've been missing a million shows. I got a room full of old flyers, cassette tapes, demos, CDs, promos, and all the rest. But, I mean, even though I get one of those, whether I like it or not, you know, you've got to want to hear a band live and on CD or cassette. Granted, tape or my. I go to my Facebook. Oh yeah, hey, this is my demo tape. It's called, so and so. Can you go check me out? We want to play with your band. We'd love to have. Been around for a long time. Come play with us, or we want to open for you guys. And I go, well, all right. Well, give me your CD. I'll check them out online. I'll go see your show. And then after that, I mean, you have to make your decision after that.
Yeah.
Would be the right way.
And have you guys, are you guys aware of that or not, that if you've been bootlegged and already mass distributed in the torrent files, in the torrent sites yet?
Well, I want to say yes, because for the last couple of CDs, I mean, there are some unknown sources out there with their hands in the mix all over some of the chaos things in the past with our old demos, some 88 or 89 demos that were stronger demos that were more thrash metal.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of print now, of course. You know, only actually me and Casey have an old cassette copy of the old, you know, analog recording. So anything else floating around, you just never know. I mean, I've seen people, you know, selling stuff, but, you know, yeah, I've seen a lot of things out there. Yeah, I would say, yeah, there's people out there, you know, getting a copy, creating a site, sell XX or whatever. Yeah, it's definitely going on. No doubt about that.
And what about the new album? Have you guys heard that it's already pirated somewhere online, or?
Well, I mean, I don't know that much about it, Juan, but, I mean, when I do a personal search for myself, and I go in there, and I kind of see where the album's going, and who's looking at it, and who's buying it, I go, well, I never said him. And I've never heard of that website before, but I couldn't give it names, places, but I know there's people out there that are already kind of burning copies.
Yeah, I mean, that's unavoidable.
So it's going on. They're promoting the band, but at the same time, they're taking it away.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to, if you want to support a band you really like, you got to buy it right from the source and not some, mouth operation,
Yeah, especially since you guys' album, it's very good, it's very well packed and everything.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. The whole band does.
So, I mean, just to sum it up, what can you say that Chaos has in store for all your fans in the future, in the next few months, to just say something?
I would say, for anybody that's liking the Chaos right now, is you got to keep playing those Chaos CDs, because Chaos is coming to your town, and everybody needs more Chaos in their life. You got to spread this stuff like wildfire. Anything else? Man, it's endless, man. Why not tell you, man? I just want to say thanks for the awesome write-up that you gave us. Thanks for this interview. I do appreciate it. The whole band does. And keep listening to thrash metal music. And like what you're hearing, buy some Chaos shirts and promote this band. And we are thankful.
Okay, just our last question then. If you guys had a limited budget for a live show, what do you think you guys use?
If we had unlimited financial backing to play a concert?
Yeah, in terms of like stage and all that stuff, what would you guys?
It's one funny asking that, because earlier out in the studio, I was talking to Paul, our new bass player, and he's been in the band for 15 years. And, I tell these bands, more or less from Europe, there's a lot of bands with the makeup and the blood and, all this kind of theatrical thing. And it's like, well, for me, I think, and the rest of the band, you really can't top what Kiss already is.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as, like, a stage show. Who can top Kiss? The music is good, but their stage show was, like, top of the line for us. But, combine Kiss with Pantera and Creator and Slayer, and all those other bands, and all those bands, all of our favorite bands, you would have the greatest show on earth. So, as far as going that route, I mean, it'd pretty much be that, playing with Iron Maiden, Kiss, and Slayer, with the whole package together, would be our ultimate show, really.
Okay.
That's just some of them. That was a good one.
Oh, we got some weird answers from from like a giant hamsters surfing crowd and stuff to very basic stuff. So it's an interesting question.
Well, I think that's awesome, man. But if we had financial, unlimited financial capabilities, it's like you want to put on a show like this, yet carry the presence of Pantera and Slayer and Creator.
Yeah.
No doubt.